Week number four of the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show, presented by Century One Deanna Realty. I'm Rocco Nushi. Across the clear, transparent, shower curtain-esque thing, or whatever you could call it here in the studio, it's the Chronicle Telegram Zone. Sean Bennett. Sean, how are we doing?
We're doing well. I mean, a week ago we sat here and looked out the window, and it was a virtual blizzard going on, and now it's sunshine.
This is progress.
I think wrestling brought all this about. I mean, we cracked the bottle on the season, and a lot of good matches, tournaments, things like that last weekend, and now here we are, sunshine, a couple days before Christmas.
Sounds to me like Sean Bennett is advocating for a year-long wrestling season, if nothing else, for the apparent weather magic that it brings to our county here. But
Rocco, you ask any wrestler around, wrestling is a year-round season. High school, right into freestyle and Greco, and it just never stops.
That's a very good point. Very good point you make there. And we're here to talk some high school wrestling again on the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Now, the past couple weeks have been, I don't know, somewhat light, you could say, relative to other seasons at the start. And, you know, we all know why. Obviously, the context of this year in this winter sports season with COVID and everything mixed in there. But now it feels like they're really starting to get into more of a full routine swing, if you will, although still a bit of a different one.
Right. Like, obviously, the differences are they started this season with conference duels, was like the very first matchups, which was, you know, kind of a odd. You usually have, you know, some tournaments, some odd non-conference things, and then you kind of, you know, work your way into, just right away, conference, and then, you know, all duels tournaments last weekend. But, you know, that's good because it's still a lot of fun to watch. So a lot of big events. So, yeah, it's definitely different. But still, just, you know, it's wrestling. So at this point, you know, everybody out there is ready to take just about anything they can see.
Yeah, and we'll certainly take what we can get, you know, from the viewership standpoint of things and from your coverage standpoint. And, you know, we'll talk more about it with somebody we've spoken with already a little bit this season. That's Elyria wrestling coach Eric Burnett. Should be a lot of fun talking with him later on in the show. I'm sure you've got a ton of questions for him about what they've got going on, an event they were recently in. So we'll talk to Coach Burnett, and we'll talk about some of the other events that we had in the county over this past weekend as the high school wrestling season, again, really starts to get into that full normal kind of swing again, although a little different from years past. So we'll go ahead. We'll step aside real quick. When we get back, we will talk to Elyria coach Eric Burnett and hear what he has to say here on the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Welcome back on in. This is the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Got Rocco Nushi across the way from me is Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram, bringing you the local high school wrestling season, well, all season long, pretty much. And on the line, we have our guest for this week, making his second appearance on the show for the season. It's Elyria wrestling coach Eric Burnett. Coach Burnett, thank you so much for joining us here today. How are we doing?
Oh, doing well. Thanks, guys, for doing what you do for our sport. Appreciate it.
Hey, Coach. Obviously, the reason we wanted to, get you on the phone here is, but by my accounts, this would have been the third weekend of the season. Correct me if I'm wrong, would have placed you guys in Delaware at the Beast of the East. Kind of a nice, scheduling move to be able to work your way into this Frickers Duels with some really, really good teams. So kudos to finding a great event. At the last moment here.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Chidlaw, he's a volunteer coach with us, and he handles most of our scheduling. He and Coach Gillespie and myself. But those guys are the ones that kind of did most of the, you know, compilation as far as putting that together. We feel like we got lucky getting in there, wrestling teams like Edison and Oak Harbor and Graham. That was great, especially, you know, for the beginning of the season, with the delay and the two-week delay and that being our first competition. It was good. We couldn't ask for more.
Well, obviously, pretty dominating wins over Oak Harbor, the host school, Archbold, and Otsego. tight matchup against Edison, as you mentioned, who was ranked number two in the state in Division III, and a really tough matchup against St. Paris Graham, who I was telling Rocco, he's kind of saying, where are they from? I said, Dayton. They've won like 23, 24 straight Division II state championships. They're pretty pretty awesome. Number one in Division II and number 11 in the nation. But let's kind of start with that matchup with Edison. One-point win for the Pioneers, 40-39. I think you guys, from what I saw on track wrestling, you guys kind of built a lead and then kind of had to weather a furious comeback by the Chargers there in that match.
Yeah, so, I mean, typically, you know, once you hit 40 points in a dual meet, you should be pretty set, right? You would think. But the amount of bonus points scored, you know, you figure the maximum amount of points that can be scored in a dual meet by two teams is, what, 84?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the final score, you know, 40-39, there were 79 points scored there. So, yeah, I think at one point we were up 40-6 and we weren't safe because they had some really good guys. And coming up, to, you know, the next six weight classes, and we had some inexperience, and just we got overpowered, and you know, but it was all we could do to hang on. I mean, let's face it, Edison knows how to win dual meets. They've won state, I think, the last 2 years in Division III in the dual meet competition. So they know how to win duels, and they're well coached, and they're good. So getting a win there, you know, for us, we felt pretty good about that. You know, I thought. You know, the guys that won, I mean, everybody secured bonus. It's all you can ask for. You know what I mean? And then the kids that lost, it just kind of was what it was. You know, sounds like they didn't try their hardest. You know what I mean? They right. absolutely tried their hardest. So, but it was good to get a win there.
I mean, it was almost twofold. You mentioned the bonus points. We always talk about the importance of bonus points, and you guys got those bonus points. Obviously, a very highlight match was in Enrique Munguia getting a pin against Shadrick Sloan, who's you know, ranked number two. He's the projected state runner-up in Division III. But even like Colin Knoll, right at the end there when we were making that comeback, loses a very tight decision to hold off bonus points for Edison. That's just as important as your guys getting the bonus points.
Well, you know, and it's hard. You know, these kids are competitive, man. They got a lot of pride, and you know, trying to tell a kid, hey, look, go for the win, but stay off your back. I mean, you know, that's a tough thing to do, but nevertheless, that's what we had to do. And Colin was fighting through some stuff that day. You know what I mean? As far as some, he wasn't feeling well. And you know, he tried his best, and you know, but yeah, for him to go out and lose a close match there, obviously that sealed the match for us. So you know, talk about, you know, ironic, a kid losing a match to seal the match, but he did his job in that regard, and so yeah, that was good.
And then you know, the St. Paris Graham matchup, obviously the final score, in my opinion, not very indicative of how close that duel was. At least, you know, there was I think two or three Elyria wrestlers who lost by 1 point decisions. You know, you were out a couple of guys. I know Peyton Fenton didn't wrestle. I didn't see JoJo Norwood, who was a state alternate last year, in the lineup. So I mean, it seemed like that could have been a lot tighter of a matchup. You know, a few matches swing your way.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you obviously you'd like to have everybody in your lineup. You know, like you wrestle the guys that are there, the guys that are available. You know, and Travis McIntosh, the coach from Graham, and we were talking after the match. You know, it's my 24th year of coaching, and we've never dueled Graham. So that was a lot of fun. You know, 152 Trinsky, he was in a real close match. You know. Brandy Crawford at 170 was winning by 3 points with, you know, less than 20 seconds left, and then took himself out of his own element. He put himself in a position he doesn't typically wrestle in, just trying to kind of hold on to the win, and it wound up backfiring, and he gave up 2-2 at the end. Nate Burnett was really excited to wrestle Alec Martin. Alec Martin, he won the prestigious Super 32 tournament here in the preseason. He's nationally ranked. So Nate was pretty fired to wrestle him, but you know, at this point, just didn't quite have enough. You know, he lost a 5-1 match, but wrestled hard. You know what I mean? And was excited about it. I think our kids were excited to wrestle Graham, and that's what you want. They weren't afraid. You know what I mean? They're like, hey, let's go. You know, and that's all you can expect.
Well, a couple guys in the event went undefeated. We already mentioned Enrique Munguia had that pretty impressive pin against Sloan from Edison, but Jake Evans, 5-0 with 4 pins. Really not much of a surprise. That guy's been, like, on the top of his game for the last couple years now.
Yeah, Jake had a great day. Once again, securing bonus whenever you can. That's what you got to do when you want to win dual meets. And Jake's been a staple. You know what I mean? He's been a staple as far as the guy that gets the. You can count on bonus points most of the time with Jake. So that was outstanding. And Enrique, he just does Enrique things, as Coach Gillespie likes to say. He just, wrestlers think they got him in certain positions, and the next thing you know, Enrique's got him on their back, and he's just a lot of fun, man. Yeah, those two guys had a great day.
A handful of guys went 4-1. We already mentioned several of them. Your son, Nate Burnett, Brandy Crawford, Eric Trensky, Connor Burris. I know he picked up at this event his 100th career win, three-time district qualifier, transfer from Hubbard. And then freshman Connor Holm went 4-1 in his debut varsity event. I know he picked up a tight win against Oak Harbor's Tyler Davis, who's a top 10 ranked wrestler in Division II. Got to be kind of nice to see some of those performances from guys. They're kind of walking in with question marks as far as varsity experience.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Connors, Burris and Holm, those guys are tough, man. It's one of those things where, I think they're starting to believe they're tough. I'm not sure that was always the case, and they're coming into their own, and it's a lot of fun to watch it develop, in those two kids. Holm had a huge win against Oak Harbor. And ironically enough, the kid that he wrestled, TD, he's been one of our club kids for years and years. That was a great matchup, great result for Connor Holm. And Burris had an outstanding day. Like I said, wrestling first time on a new team. Obviously, he's known these kids forever, but just first day. I'm sure there were some jitters for him, but he did a fine job. So looking forward to watching the progress in those kids.
And wins by just about everybody else in the lineup somewhere along the line. I mean, Colin, who you said was battling some health issues, still went 3-2 at 113. Alex Green at 120, who I assume was in there for Peyton Fenton at that weight. Isaac Pedraza, who's been pretty steady for you guys, all 3-2. And then Riley Banez with a couple wins at 106. I know she was a spot starter last year as a freshman. I assume she may be your regular 106 this year. Tyler Thompson at heavyweight. And I even saw Riley went up against, I can't believe there's another Jordan at Graham, but there's another Jordan at Graham, and I see he's the projected state champion at 106 pounds.
Yeah, apparently, from what I'm hearing, no relation to the Jordan family. But he is really good. It was my first opportunity to watch him, and he's got a dump series that is pretty ridiculous. And he looked good. And Riley's tough, man. I mean, she's going out there and she's beating boys, tough boys. You know what I mean? Not guys that don't know much. She's beating some tough boys. So. She's doing a great job, she ran up against a couple guys that are just stronger, Max Hermes. He's just he's a strong kid. He's a great wrestler. And of course the Jordan kid. Riley picked up two wins for us, and that was an outstanding job by her. But Tyler Thompson at heavyweight, he's actually lost weight from last year. I think he's doing his best wrestling right now, but he ended up quarantined this year for 2 weeks, which didn't help him. His gas tank isn't good, not his fault, but he's just not quite there. I thought Gage Steffi did a pretty nice job for us at 220, of course, but he got hurt, so we're hoping to get him back sooner than later. What I like about our team is we had a kid that was struggling with his weight on Friday night, and we weren't sure if he was going to be able to make it. Just had some poor weight management decisions during the week. But anyhow, we had two kids step up and say, "Hey, coach, I'm going to make weight just in case, he's not going to make it." And the tournament director had sent out an email telling us, "Don't bring any extras. Anybody that's not wrestling, because of COVID and the protocol, don't bring any extras." So we didn't have that option to bring extra guys. So these two kids on our team ended up working out Friday night, awaiting a text from me saying whether we were going to go tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the type of guys we have on this team this year. I just thought that was outstanding to have those two kids say, "Well, I'll go knock off a couple of pounds and just in case the team needs me." I thought that was very cool. So hopefully we trend in that direction and then continue to make progress with that positive attitude.
Wow, wow, yeah, that speaks volumes to the culture over there with the Elyria wrestling program. So, yeah, that's very cool to hear that you had two kids just kind of ready to go, just in case, sort of thing. So, Coach Burnett, we certainly do appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you for going through some of those results with us and sharing some insight to what you guys got going on so far early in the season. We appreciate the time, like I said, and, you know, I'm sure we'll have you on the show here at some point or another before the season comes to a close. So, thank you again, Coach.
No, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you guys, and hope you're all well.
Thank you, Coach. Same to you and yours. There he goes, head coach of the Elyria Pioneers wrestling program, Coach Eric Burnett. He had two kids just waiting. Just waiting, yeah. Sean. Hey, just in case this kid doesn't quite cut the weight. We got you covered, Coach. Wow. That's nice to have on your roster, huh?
Yeah, I tell you, I could talk to him for hours. I know this show's limited, but man, I tell you, he has such great insight and he just answers everything. I'm like on the edge of my seat listening to him.
Yeah, well, he's a guy you certainly would want to talk to for hours if you had to. So we'll step aside. We'll leave that there. Final segment of the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. When we come back here on AM 930, 100.3 FM, and we're online at WEOL.com. Well, I don't know, Sean. This kind of makes you want to jump into the student section and start bouncing around, you know, getting a little rowdy, getting a little crazy in the gym.
I'm expecting to see a kickoff because this is like the most popular start to a football game, uh-huh. A kickoff. I love it.
You got the special teams swaying, kickers out there all swaggy, as swaggy as the kicker can be.
Right.
We are back on the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. I'm Rocco Nucci. That's Sean Bennett on the other side of our little transparent shower curtain that we have here in studio. Fantastic conversation we just had with Elyria wrestling coach Eric Burnett. They had some action, to say the least, this past weekend. Did fairly well, and you know, some work to be done, as Coach Burnett pointed out, for his guys this season. But we're having a season, and that's better than nothing, as we've said pretty much all season long with this show. So we do have some other events to recap, though, Sean. I know you were kind of giving me a sneak preview there during the intermission, and you rattled off a good chunk of events there that we can go over. So we can start wherever.
Well, I mean, I'll go right down the list here I got from paper, and this is kind of how the coaches reported them to me. So, Firelands at the Canfield Holiday Duels. Again, most of these events that happened last weekend were dual. I think all of our locals were involved in dual events. So, Firelands at Canfield Holiday Duels. Ruben Pino Lorenzano, who had a breakout freshman year last year, went undefeated at 106 pounds for Firelands. I think he was a state alternate last year, so he's picking right up where he left off. Mason Stanley went 3-1 at 170. As did Connor Rogers at 182, and Caden King, a freshman for the Falcons. And anybody who's ever heard me kind of talk during these shows and during the Matt Report knows that I have like a fascination with these freshmen when a high-level freshman comes and just want to see how they adapt to varsity level wrestling and how they do. Well, Caden King adapted pretty well, 4-0 at 145 pounds, including major decision wins over Kenston's Mason Benz, who's ranked number 17th in the state in Division I, and a major decision win over Poland Seminary's Jacob Cottle, who's ranked number 10 in Division II. So that's just that's about as good as a start as you can have to your varsity career. And then Avon, we've talked to them. We talked to Coach Johnson last week. They kind of said they were going to the Olentangy Berlin to take part in the Berlin duels. Three dual meets there. They lost 50-21 to Delta, powerhouse D3 program. Ethan Sear at 145, Joe Resch at 182, and Mason Bingham at heavyweight all got wins there for Avon in that dual meet. On the mat wins, there were some forfeit wins too they picked up. They won 41-30 over the host Olentangy Berlin. John Foy at 106, Ty Doherty 120. Mason Fitch at 126, Cale Saxon at 132, Riley Atkins 138, Sear, Preston Yates at 152, and Bingham all got wins there. And then a 44-21 win over Pickerington North. Foy, Doherty, Fitch, Saxon, Sear, Resch, Josh Sublett at 195, Sam Wagner at 220, and Bingham all wins against Pickerington North. So some good wrestling for Avon as well. The other matchup, matchups I got were duels through the first week of the season. Keystone, who we've talked about in the past, had four dual meets in the opening week, won them all. 33-27 over Monroeville, who I think won a Division III state championship less than, well, I don't know, maybe a decade ago, but still a very, very tough program in D3, and they have some pretty storied wrestlers out of that program as well. So 33-27 win there. And then four wins against Division I programs, 42-33 against Avon Lake, 54-18 against North Olmsted, 54-18 against Midview, and 45-24 versus Strongsville. So Keystone, Division II program, putting in some work there against some tough D1 programs and a tough D3 program. Going 5-0 on the week were Nick Barriswell at 152, Cody Green at 160, Nick Hickman at 195, and Luke Moore at heavyweight. And then going 4-1, Tristan Green at 138, another Fab freshman. The coach says he's one of the best freshmen he's ever had the pleasure of coaching. Ryan Healy at 170, and going 2-0 at 170 was Emily Jarosik for Keystone as well. And then the other team that I kind of got some results from was Amherst, who had a couple duels last week. Lost both the matches against Avon Olmsted Falls, so a couple of Southwestern Conference matchups there for the Comets. But going undefeated for Amherst was Lavelle Gibson at 220. We did a nice feature on him in our preview. Eli Mendez at 113 pounds, and his brother Noah Mendez at 132 pounds. And then going undefeated at 106, Ryan Trowbridge picked up a nice decision. I think he won 10-5 against Avon in that opening duel for Amherst as well. So you got four wrestlers there that went undefeated on the mat last week.
Wow. Question for you regarding Keystone. Mm-hmm. You know, with some sports like football, basketball, a smaller division team beating a bigger division team tends to be a pretty big deal. It's usually a pretty big upset unless it's, you know, one of those powerhouse smaller divisional schools. So with this instance with Keystone, and I guess with wrestling in general, is that a little more common on the wrestling front? Do you see a smaller division school, you know, pulling off victories more commonly in wrestling than other sports?
I think it is more common because it really has a lot to do with the coaching and what the program is set up. Like we mentioned, St. Paris Graham is a Division II school. They bumped up to Division I, I think, 3-4 years ago in the state dual tournament. They basically applied to the OHSA to do that, and the OHSA allowed them to, and they went in and pretty much breezed their way to a Division I state championship. Same thing a lot of people say on the football front. Akron Hoban, the way mm-hmm. they've got it all set up, could probably win Division I titles, even though they're a Division II school. They went from Division III, and I think they've won, you know, so many Division II
like
championships.
Four or five
in a row.
Of those things.
Right.
No,
so
yeah.
It's just a matter of you know, having the right guys in the right place, and if you get a good coach in a program, you know, whether it be D2 or D3, that you know, gets hold of kids in youth programs, starts working with them, building them up. By the time they're in the high school, you'll start to see it. After a coach has been there maybe 3, 4, or 5 years, these kids start cycling through that he's been working with for a long time. All of a sudden, these programs are as good as any program, yeah. No matter what size a pool they have to work from, because the kids that are interested in wrestling are becoming good, and then the good kids are becoming great. And that's basically what it is. These coaches just make their programs better. They elevate them.
Interesting. Wow, very, very cool, very cool. So, you know, peeling the curtain back a little bit here, before we started recording here, I know you had told me as far as upcoming events, it's still a little up in the air, correct? Still waiting on getting some schedules. Those are still kind of in the works of being developed, correct?
Yeah, it's a week-by-week thing right now. You know, I have to contact coaches to find out what events are still going, what events they've managed to put together. This week we were supposed to have the great you know, Brecksville Holiday Tournament, one of the best tournaments in the state all year, but certainly this week people look forward to it. They had trimmed that back down to a one-day event and a handful of teams, and then they've canceled it outright. So it's just unfortunate that you know, some of these great events just are not happening. We already mentioned, you know, the Beast of the East for Elyria, the Ironman at Walsh Jesuit, all canceled for this year. I think Maumee Bay, which was another big event out west, you know, at Oregon Clay. You know, these are just events that we look forward to as fans, as writers, sports writers, as the wrestlers themselves, the coaches. all look forward to every year, and it's really it's making the season tougher. You know, yeah. you're not getting to see some of these big events. So yeah, at this point, we're just kind of, and I think it's going to be a very light week because these events got canceled, and I think a lot of coaches are just in the mindset of let's, this is the holidays. These kids a lot of time are working, you know, through Christmas, through the New Year's. Maybe they're going to just go ahead and try to use those schedule points later in the season instead of and a lot of these wrestlers to kind of spend some time with the family and I guess we're just going to have to kind of find out what's going on week by week. As of right now, we don't have a lot going on going forward until the New Year's.
Well, there is one way you can kind of keep track of everything, and that's to give old Sean Bennett a follow on Twitter over there. I know you do a pretty good job keeping that Twitter updated with schedule releases and everything. So where can the kind folks of Lorain County find you on Twitter
at? Yes, I'm at Sean Bennett, S-H-A-U-N-B-E-N-N-E-T-T, C-T, right at the end there, all lowercase. Definitely, if I get any news about anything that I cover, football, high school wrestling, high school softball, those are my three beats throughout the course of the year. I try to throw it out there as quickly as possible, you know, college commitments, schedule changes, whatever it might be. So that's what it is. It's all information. I don't put a lot of opinion on there. That's pretty much my work account, so it's pretty stay professional. That's my goal.
You almost locked down the basic at Sean Bennett Twitter handle. That would have been wildly impressive. I'm going to have to start the fundraiser to get you that locked down anyways. Yeah. Get old Twitter.com to just give that to you.
Well, I might have it. That might be my personal account.
Oh, is it?
I haven't used it in so long. I don't honestly know. I can't even remember what my personal account is. But, I did that one first, and then I did the CT one maybe a couple years later.
Okay.
So,
but, that's funny.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. I have to go back and look.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You can follow him at Sean Bennett CT to keep up with the latest wrestling schedule changes. As you mentioned there, it's just kind of a week by week thing as these coaches and teams continue to battle through this COVID-19 pandemic. So that brings us to the finish line here. Sean, had a lot of fun this week. We actually got to talk about some, you know, actual wrestling and events that happened and stuff. So looking forward to some more of the same next week, probably a little less like you mentioned, but yeah, we'll be able to break things down next week.
Yeah, well, I obviously wish everybody out there, all the wrestling fans, and anybody who's just kind of, you know, listening to the show, all sports fans, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And, we'll be doing the Matt Report this week as well, so make sure you check that out, WOL show, video show that we put out every week as well. That should be out within the next day or so.
Yeah, I believe the Chronicle Telegram Facebook page shares that, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. You can find it there. WEOL Facebook page will reshare that as well, so... that will do it for this week. For Sean Bennett, I'm Rocco Nucci. Thank you for tuning in to the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Show, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. To echo Sean's sentiment there, happy holidays to everybody tuning in each week on this show. We do appreciate it. We will see you guys next week.